if you follow where the church is at, one of the interesting things with our denominations is they're exploding in places like Africa, Latin America and Asia. In the last 20 or so years, the Anglican Church in Nigeria has added more than 20 million members. That is a lot. Around the world, this is happening again and again, but in the West, we're sort of so self-confident that we don't think we need God.
Words for Life.
Words for Life today is an Easter talk by Reverend Brett Peatman of Aspendale Presbyterian Church here in Melbourne. His talk title is Wonder. The Bible reference is Luke 24 verses 1 to 12, the story of that first Easter Sunday morning at the tomb of Jesus. Talk time is 14 minutes.
There was an article in the Sydney Morning Herald yesterday entitled "The Failure of Self-Esteem." One of the things we've often taught children today is that you can do anything, you can be anything, just dream it and you can do it. The only problem is that works for a few people but not for all people. In the same way you talk to parents and you'll discover that 90% of children are above average. Social researcher Hugh Mackay identifies the problem in our culture and he calls it the utopia complex. A world we dream of and think we're entitled to with outcomes that are always positive. Now we hope that things will work out well, but life is not always positive. We had Susan Parkin, the chaplain at Parkdale here a couple of weeks ago, and she was looking at her students and saying they're getting more and more anxious. All of them are more anxious. According to a survey by the National Youth Mental Health Foundation, university and TAFE campuses are reporting epidemic levels of mental health issues, with 70% of students reporting high to very high levels of psychological distress. Our young people heap themselves up with expectations. They can be their dreams. The only problem is they can't. It's not that simple. So often we're taught in life that life begins with us and ends with us. We find happiness within ourselves. You see, we've taught self-esteem, but we forgot to teach self-control. We no longer teach self-discipline, and humility has actually gone out the window altogether. In the Easter story, we find something different, something that makes sense of life. It's not just a rosy picture with life working out well, because we begin this story looking at the cross. Now, a lot of people think the cross was plan B for God. Jesus' crucifixion looks like plan B. It looks almost like God made a mistake. Why would he plan his son to die? But what I want you to see in our passage this morning is that it's actually God's plan A. And it's so dramatically different from what Jesus' followers expected, they're actually dumbfounded. They wonder what is going on. When we come to Luke's account of the resurrection, we begin early in the morning, the first day of the week. The women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They'd got up at dawn. Maybe they'd had trouble sleeping. I could understand them suffering from some levels of anxiety and worry. Their teacher, who they'd been with for 3 years, had just been executed. So they get up early. They're not sleeping anyway. They run through the streets to the tomb. They get there and they find the stone is rolled away. And when they get inside the tomb, there's no body. There's nothing there. Just the cold crispness of the morning, maybe a musty smell in the tomb, but no body of Jesus. And they're standing there wondering. And two men appear. But these are not average men, men in clothes that gleam like lightning. They're men that glow. Now, these are what we look at as angels. The word angel just means messenger. And most of the time when angels come, but not all of it, people bow down in fear. These are not soft, fluffy creatures floating on clouds. They are gleaming white. They are intimidating. They look white hot. The women fall down. It tells you in fright they bow down with their faces to the ground. They don't even want to look on these creatures. And the creatures say to them, remember Jesus' words. He's not here. He's risen. Why are you looking for the living among the dead? He told you what was going to happen. In verse 7, he explains that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. And they remembered. Now this is the story that we read in Luke 22 and 23. This is all that happened in the last few days. All that was weighing on these women's minds. What they'd forgotten was the last bit, that he would be raised on the third day. Jesus predicted this back in Luke chapter 9, verse 22, what he told them. He said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests and teachers of the law, and he must be killed and be raised on the third day. He said it again in chapter 18, verse 32 and 33. And later in this chapter we read, in verse 27, that Jesus actually explained Moses and all the prophets and explained to them from the scriptures what was concerning himself. This is even present in the Old Testament. Now last night around the dinner table we were reading Isaiah 53. And one of the things I love about that chapter is we find Jesus predicted 700 years before his birth, but he's a man who will have no descendants to speak of, but his descendants will be as numerous as the sand on the seashore. He will die without children, but he will have unlimited descendants. That's one chapter. This is one reason why you need to read the Bible slowly. It seems almost contradictory, but this is God's plan. He planned to raise Jesus from the dead, to adopt people into his family through Jesus Christ. God is doing things his way here, not ours. And in this story, we actually find the release that many of us need today. It is permission not to be the hero of our own story, just to be normal, but to be special because God made us who we are. Doesn't mean we're not significant, but being ordinary, simple and humble is a good thing. The plan here is all about Jesus Christ. And this is not the end of the plan. We get to Luke 24, verse 46 and 47, and he opens their mind to understand the scriptures, and he says, this is what is written, the Christ will suffer from and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. His disciples were to carry this message of his resurrection around the world. And what we see today is this message is around the world. If you follow where the church is at, one of the interesting things with our denominations is they're exploding in places like Africa, Latin America and Asia. In the last 20 or so years, the Anglican Church in Nigeria has added more than 20 million members. That is a lot. Around the world, this is happening again and again, but in the West, we're sort of so self-confident that we don't think we need God. We think we can find it all within ourselves. The only problem is we see mental health rates rising, suicides rising, depression rising. We're trying to do it on our own in a world that was never made for us to be that way. And today this message calls on us to repent, to turn to God, to ask forgiveness, to not pretend everything's okay, but to be real. And when you receive forgiveness, that is a freedom that our world can't give you. It is freedom to be accepted by God despite your faults. You don't have to pretend they're not there. See, churches are not museums for saints, but hospitals for the broken. Places where you can come to be honest. Not perfect to begin with, but broken and humble before God. See, the women are confused here, and to be fair, Peter is as well. Peter arrives at the tomb, he gets up, hearing the report of the women. He speaks like a normal man. He says, their words seemed to them like nonsense, so he said, I'll just check it out. They ran to the tomb, and bending over, he sees the strips of linen lying there, and he leaves wondering what had happened. He didn't need to wonder. The women had told him what had happened. But he's confused. He didn't expect it. The words he says here about them, their words seem like nonsense. It literally means empty talk, meaningless, useless. It's a bit like the way that many in the media now portray Christians as people who believe in fairy stories and things like that. But there's a couple of points I want you to realise here. There's things that show that this is a true story. The very first of them is the women discovered the tomb. This was a day and an age and a culture in which women could not testify in court. They were not viewed as reliable witnesses. But here in the gospel we see they are the witnesses. Then we go on further and look at the lives of the disciples and find that most of them actually ended up dying for the message. If they'd come up with a cleverly concocted story, that might be surprising. Charles Colson, who served as special counsel to Richard Nixon, said, I know the resurrection is a fact and Watergate proved it to me. How? Because 12 men testified they'd seen Jesus raised from the dead, and then they proclaimed that for 40 years, never once denying it. Everyone was beaten, tortured, stoned and put in prison. They would not have endured if it wasn't true. Watergate embroiled 12 of the most powerful men in the world, and they couldn't keep a lie for 3 weeks. And you're telling me 12 apostles could keep a lie for 40 years? Absolutely impossible. Now, Peter left the tomb wondering to himself, but it soon fell into place for him that this is God's plan. This is the way God is at work changing our world today, through joining people to Jesus Christ, through the forgiveness that comes in him, and giving us hope that goes beyond ourselves, beyond this life. We are so often told that it is up to you. Life begins and ends with us. But Jesus shows us something so much more. Something greater than us that opens the very plans of God. As we look at Peter wondering this morning, God's plan encourages us to rethink our lives. To see where God would have us change it. To see where God would be at work renovating our lives. Jesus' death was not the end. And we are not our own end. Our mistakes are not our end. We are made for something greater, something grander. And the resurrection of Jesus is the truth that changes everything. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us today to understand more of the resurrection. Lord, if questions are rising in our minds, help us to ask them. Give us wisdom to see that your plan for us is not simply that we be the hero of our own story, but we find ourselves in your story. Give us wisdom to stand for you today, to know your truth, and to know your freedom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Words for